So we don't spend very long on Palm Sunday in Palm Sunday. we have our liturgy outside. We cry, Hosanna, Lord God in the highest. And we process in, and very quickly we turn to the Passion. We turn to Good Friday. Our gospel lesson today is from Matthew, and Matthew's account of Jesus' judgment and crucifixion on the cross, his ultimate death. And I think it's interesting as we look at these, the progression that goes very quickly through Holy Week in our readings this morning. Because if you note in the account of the Liturgy of the, from the Liturgy of the Palms, from the gospel about Jesus' entry, triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the last line are many of the Jews saying, "Who is this?" And they say, "It's the prophet Jesus." Not as the Messiah Jesus. And it gives you a little hint as to what probably happened over the next week that led ultimately to his demise. Because the people who were there were expecting a conquering king. They were expecting their Messiah to come and to overthrow Rome, to free Jerusalem and Israel, and to restore Israel into its rightful place among God's elect and chosen, to be a special country that is set apart for God, where they can make their own decisions and have their own sovereignty. Because up at this point, Israel has been in some kind of subjugation or some kind of rule other than their own for the last 600 years. And they're sick of it. And they're ready for God to come fulfill his promise to them. And they expect that in their Messiah. And Jesus comes, and he is a servant. He comes as one in weakness and humility. He says things that frustrate the status quo among the leaders and the religious elite. And they rebel and reject him, and they ultimately crucify him. Now, the important thing to remember here, and the reason why we say let him be crucified together, is we always want to remember and be reminded that we are among that crowd. It's tempting to say, well, that happened 2,000 years ago, and if I had been there, I would have been one of the ones standing with Jesus to say, you know, let's not crucify him. Let's stand with him. But if you remember, even his disciples ran and scattered in fear. It's entirely possible that we would have made different decisions. But the point and the reminder of this time is that we, as sinners, we as people who are in need of God's grace, we don't ever want to fall into the temptation of standing and believing in our own righteousness as opposed to the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that is offered and given to us freely in God's grace and love. The cross and the crucifixion, the resurrection, this week of Holy Week, this time of preparation during Lent, and ultimately its culmination in the Easter season, it is about remembering and being drawn into this story, to this commemoration of God's giving of everything, even his life for you and for me. That is what this is about. Now, we don't know exactly how it works. We have lots of theories. We talk and have spent thousands of years trying to understand exactly what happened on the cross, what happened in the midst of resurrection. We've debated it over the centuries in the church. But the one thing I do believe and know is that whatever the mechanics of the crucifixion were, the mechanics of the atonement that restore us to God in love and in mercy, whatever those things are, that they have worked, that they are effective, and that I know I can stand here in the comfort of the grace, knowing that God has welcomed me as one of his children into the kingdom of God, and God has welcomed you there as well. This is not a competition. This is not a race. This is not about weighing ourselves in the scale of goodness and righteousness, hoping that we come out on top. It's about coming in humility and in joy, receiving the good things that God has for us, for you and for me, coming to this table and being reminded week after week that we are part of the kingdom of God. We are God's children. I think it's kind of ironic that in the reading, Pilate tries to pretend like it's not his responsibility. And he says, I'm innocent of this man's blood. Let it be on your heads. And the people say, let his blood be on our heads and on our children. And for those, depending on your faith tradition, one of the ways in which we talk about the crucifixion is the sacrifice and the blood of Christ covering us. You see, it's like all the rest of Jesus' teaching. It's the reversal. It's we expect one thing to happen, and the opposite comes true. We expect Jesus to come in the way we want him to come. And he comes as a servant, and he calls us into service as well. We think he is a false prophet and an imposter. And we cry out for his blood, for his crucifixion. And yet, lo and behold, it is that very crucifixion and blood and resurrection that welcomes us into the kingdom of God. The power for me, well, there's a lot of different pieces, but one of the key pieces of this passion narrative is that the very people who hand Jesus over, the very people that insist upon his death, are the people that Jesus came to save. Jesus died for these folks. Jesus died for Judas, the betrayer. Jesus died for you and me. Like I said, I don't know exactly how that works. I don't think we need to. I think what we're called into is letting the love of God that lives within us and the Holy Spirit grow and flourish. That Spirit leads us into truth. That Spirit leads us into life. It guides us where we need to go. For me, that is the truth of Christ's death and resurrection, that he died for you and for me, for us, to wash away the reality of sin, the reality of our rebellion, and our desire to be gods ourselves, our desire to be right and to be in control. He gave it all for us. Both those who were gathered around his cross 2,000 years ago, those who mocked him in the streets, and for those of us here today. For all that have come before and all who go on in the future, Christ is here for us. The power and the importance of this is to remember that we, no matter what we do, no matter how we would have reacted, no matter how many times we rage and get frustrated at our God, no matter what awful things we might say, or how long we might run in the opposite direction, God pursues us and loves us and is there with us every step of the way. Whether we're running away from God or toward God, God is with us. I say it all the time, and I mean it to the core of my being, that it is an honor and a privilege to be here and to worship with you, and to be a part of leading this congregation in this church, in this little corner of Pittsburgh, of Pennsylvania. I cherish the opportunity to stand here and to teach and to preach, to stand at this table and offer to you the bread and the wine, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you and for me. You are God's children. Whatever you're bringing with you into this place, whatever kind of baggage or fear, whatever anxiety or frustration, whatever anger or rage that you carry with you, know that our God is here to receive it, to take that burden from you and to replace it with love, deeper love and grace, forgiveness and mercy, to allow the joy of God to live within you and among you, to carry you into this world, to share the message of that love and that grace. This is our story. This is the story of the Christian church, the story of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. This is the story that lives within us that we carry out into the world. But please understand, this isn't always the way that we communicate that love. In fact, more often than not, the way we communicate the love of God in the cross and in the resurrection is in our love and care and grace and mercy for those we meet. Let God lead you and guide you as you share the message of God's love in this world. As you share this story, you can do it with word and with your actions, with your spirit and with your hearts. But whatever you do, however you talk about God, whatever language you have for our God, please know that you are loved as you are, that you are forgiven and raised up as God's children, and there is nothing you can do to change that. You can't run far enough away. You can't reject God enough for God to stop loving you and to stop being there for you. He pursues us to the ends of the earth, and in that we can find confidence and peace. And so as we enter into this Holy Week, as we remember and commemorate his life and death and resurrection, for those of us that gather on Thursday night and wash one another's feet as a sign and a symbol of that service that Jesus showed his disciples, that we show to one another, as we gather for Good Friday to sit vigil over his death, and as we gather on Sunday morning on Easter to celebrate his resurrection, please know that you are a part of that story. And if you want that to be a part of your life, it's there for you. I'm there for you. We're there for you. This table, this blood and body are there for you forever. Amen.